This is the Relevant Life Church podcast, where we are about connecting with God, relating to people, and reaching our world. Tune in as our church goes through this week's teaching in God's Word.
Praise the Lord. Do you love Jesus today? Amen. Awesome. We just got back from Houston, Texas, and had an amazing week with Church Multiplication Network. Everyone say multiply. Multiply. Come on, multiply. How many know that we're all called to multiply? It's been from the very beginning. That's kind of where we believe that God is wanting us to multiply. But can I tell you, as much as we had an amazing time at CMN, Church Multiplication Network, I miss the great Northwest, right? If you've been to any other state and it's hot, humid, dry, gray. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Not knocking Texas, but you know, give me some Oregon. Even as I woke up this morning and it's pouring rain, I'm like going, still give me Oregon, right? And so we're excited to be home. I want to say thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you, Pastor Jesse, for doing an amazing job last week. Come on, give him a round of applause. As he gave us some words to live by. Friday, Saturday, I'm not sure if everybody was aware. If you drove by the campus, you saw that the parking lots were packed with people, and we had an opportunity to host the Flourish Women's Conference for the OMN. And in the hosting that, we had a lot of volunteers. And I'm gonna do something that I know that everybody hates. If you were here volunteering last week, would you stand up so we can give you a round of applause? Come on, stand up. Julie, come on, don't be shy. Phil and Anne-Marie, come on. There's more, come on. There you go. Frank and Karen. If you did help with chairs, come on. Yeah, all these people made it happen, and they're being shy here today. Some of them are, but I want to say we had a good... Thank you so much. You can be seated. We had a good 20-some people that were here serving, hosting a conference of over 180 people. So there was clearly a lot of things that were happening here. You know, we have been blessed. I say all that. Number one, we've been blessed by an amazing group of people with skill and willingness to serve. So thank you so much for that. But can I tell you, we're blessed because we have such an amazing facility and people want to come and want to use it. So we were able to extend that as well. I want to remind you, if you're a member, if you're not a member, today at 1:00 at our South Campus, we have our annual business meeting. If you're a member, you get to vote. If you're not a member, you can just come and listen to what's going on. We have nothing to hide, and there's going to be actually a challenging word as well in this probably about a little over one hour meeting. So I know it's going to be a long day, but if you want to come join us, we would love for you to come. Also, I want to add my 2 cents with the 90-day giving challenge. Thank you so much. First of all, thank you for those who are participating, who have stepped in with signing up. Some of you have stepped in without even signing up, and you're just participating. So we just thank you for your participation. We thank you for your giving. We hope, again, it's not about us. It's not about what we get from you. It's about what God does in your heart. And that really is the goal. You know, you say, Pastor Kevin, are you trying to get our money? I want God to have your heart. That's the goal. We want God to have your heart. And in the process of that, we know that your heart, your treasure will follow where your heart is. And so we're asking you, we would love for all of you to participate in one way or another. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready? Come on, say, are you ready? And then everybody together say, I'm ready. Today we have the one and the only Pastor Allie, who's going to come with the word of God today. Come on, give her a welcome.
Good morning, RLC. Man, like Pastor Kevin said, we were gone this week in Texas. We missed you all last Sunday. And I just want to say, anytime I go somewhere to someone else's church, I love you guys. I love the city of Salem. I love our people. I love our church. And I'm so thankful to be back with all of you today. If you're new here today, I just want to remind you there's a connection card in the seat back in front of you or behind you if you're in the front row. And we would love for you to take a moment to fill that out this morning. You can turn that into the welcome booth and get a free gift on us, and then we would love to just follow up and meet you. And if you're new, feel free to come up and meet any of us, or we'll try to find you after, but don't forget to turn that in at the end of service. We're stepping into week 2 of our Words to Live By series. Life is, you know, just kind of full of information, and it's constant, and it's always being pushed at us. And there are all kinds of opinions on what we should do and how we should do it, what we should wear and how we should wear it, what we should eat, and 5,000 different ways on how to eat it, right? What we should buy, and influencers with all kinds of opinions on what to buy. And thankfully, as followers of Jesus, we have a book full of God's words on how we are to live. And in this series specifically, we're looking at the words found in Proverbs. Proverbs is a book written primarily by Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. And in this short series at RLC, our goal is to look at 3 prominent and powerful ideas shared in the book of Proverbs, and in turn, reveal for us words to live by. Pastor Jesse kicked us off last week with the topic of wisdom, where he shared that godly wisdom is knowledge applied in a way that honors God. Now, that's a word to live by. And today, for week 2 of this series, we are going to look at the necessity and power of hard work. I can remember thinking when I was studying to become an accountant, this is hard. It doesn't feel natural. When I was learning to play tennis, this is hard. It doesn't feel natural. When I got my master's, this is hard. It doesn't feel natural. When I have to walk beside someone who's struggling with anxiety and depression, this is hard. It doesn't feel natural. And if it doesn't feel natural, then it must not be my thing. And maybe you've thought to yourself and you start to question, I wasn't made to do this, and if I'm not great at it, then I must be doing the wrong thing. And did you know that less than 1% of people are naturally, extraordinarily gifted at something? Think genius. Think like be able to step up to a piano and play it by ear. Less than 1% of people. Do you know what that means for the rest of us? The other 99% plus of people? If we're going to do anything great in life, it is going to require hard work. If you are going to accomplish anything extraordinary with the days that the Lord has trusted to you on this planet, it is going to require you pushing through the discomfort and embracing the grind. And Proverbs has some very strong thoughts regarding laziness. The word sluggard is used 14 times throughout the book. A sluggard is someone who is habitually lazy or inactive. And in each instance where it's found, the author speaks against laziness and warns of the consequences of being a sluggard. Most of us dream of the day that we can sit back, relax, and chill. And in pursuit of that dream, are we missing out on something greater? In the midst of our busyness, are we actually being lazy? What if the life we've always dreamed of and the one that Christ desires for us requires discipline and hard work? And so I want to ask you today, do you think you're lazy? And I know you don't think you're lazy because you're busy. But what I want you to know is just because you're busy doesn't mean that you're not lazy. Most of us don't think we're lazy, but have you ever wished that school would be canceled? Or how about work? Have you ever hoped that you would go to sleep and wake up in the morning to the news that you didn't have to go to work that day? Or maybe you have a desire to retire early from your career because you're over the whole having to work every day thing? Do you ever wish your house would magically clean itself? Or that clean laundry would somehow be folded? Have you ever hoped a conversation would take care of itself because you don't want to deal with the tension? Proverbs actually speaks to this idea that we can be doing a lot of things but not progressing, not doing something productive, our life not producing anything great. We're just busy. You've heard of crazy busy. I'm talking about lazy busy. That we would sit in a bunch of motion, that we would create a lot of energy, but there would be no productivity. See, some of us have a work to be lazy mentality. We would go to work on a Monday, waiting for Friday, drudging through the week, hoping to get to that finish line so we can kick up our feet for the weekend and take it easy. And if you don't believe me, just think about retirement. We go to school. We work hard when we're young. We hope to make a lot of money, store it up in a 401k, and then hope to kick up our feet and take it easy. Our goal, our literal goal in life, is to be lazy. That's what we hope to accomplish with our life, is to one day be able to afford to be lazy. John 5:17, Jesus said, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." We serve a God who is constantly, energetically working. He's a God of labor. He delights in the works of his hands. And not only does God work, not only is he constantly at work, laboring to bring about his purposes, he has also entrusted us to do work as well. And why did he do this? What is the overarching purpose for which we should work? I think Jesus gave it to us better than anyone during his prayer in John 17. Jesus, the night before he was crucified, said to his heavenly Father, verse 4, he said, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." That's it. If you're a Christian, live for that. I brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. So our work should be for his glory. We should fit into his overarching plan, the building of the kingdom of Christ. That's what we should be laboring for. In all of life, every day, you face a choice of going one of two ways. You can go the easy way or the hard way. The easy way is of procrastination. It is of the way of staying in bed. It is the way of saying it doesn't matter whether I work today or not. It doesn't matter what time I show up for work. It doesn't matter if I check out of here a few minutes early. The easy way is saying my boss isn't around. Nobody has seen me. It is good enough for what they pay me. The easy way is slowing down, taking it easy, backing off. It's saying tomorrow. It is the way of no plans, no forethought, no enthusiasm, no diligence. That is the easy way. It is the soft and cuddly way. It is the pleasurable and luxurious way. It is the way of laziness. It is the way of the sluggard. Understand something. All of us are born on the easy way. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. We're born wanting to go the easy way. That's what the sin nature does. It says, take a shortcut, cheat if you have to, cut some corners, pull some strings, take it easy, don't work too hard. That's the way our society is going today. Our number one concern is not what is the work, but how much vacation do we get? It's not what job do you want me to do? It's how many benefits can I get? How much time off? Do I have to work on the weekends? That's American society today. Here's the hard way. It is the way of getting up early and staying up late. It is the way of working with your hands. It is preparation. It is long-range planning. It is goal setting, future orientation, diligence, and forethought. Showing up for work on time, giving 8 hours of work for 8 hours of pay, doing what you're told, and then doing what needs to be done even if you're not told. I heard someone say once that God is over on the hard road. He is not with the couch potatoes. The hard road looks difficult and daunting. All of us would rather be on the easy road, and God is calling us to the hard road. And you know what I know what the ironic thing between the easy road and the hard road is? It's that the hard road looks hard, but once you do the hard thing in life, it turns out to be the easy thing. And the easy road looks easy, but once you get on it, it turns into the hard road. The easy road is deceptive. It is the way of destruction, poverty, starvation, desperation. It is the way of total financial collapse, the way to wasted days, wasted weeks, wasted months, and wasted lives. The hard road, which appears to be so difficult, is ultimately the road of prosperity. The road of wealth and blessing, the road of fulfillment, happiness, and personal satisfaction. It is the road that leads you to the top, while the easy road leads you to the bottom. The only road that goes to the top is the hard road. It is tough, but it is the only one that goes where you want to go with your life. It is the only one that brings glory on earth to God. And so it's important that we combat laziness in our lives, because hear this, laziness is a sickness that will destroy your ability to bring glory to God through the work that he gave you to do. And so the title of my message today is called The Vice of Laziness. Let's pray. God, I just thank you just for the opportunity to speak on what your word says today about hard work, God. I'm so honored that the Holy Spirit would use me in this way, God. And so I just pray for each person in the room and online that your Holy Spirit would begin to do a work, God, that it would begin to till our heart still, God, that we would be convicted, that we would want to do what you have for us to bring glory to you this side of eternity, God. And I just pray that you would bless and anoint the words that I'm going to speak through your word today, God. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. So let's go back to the beginning and try to understand briefly a theology of work. The Bible opens with God at work. I mean, right from the very beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth, and God puts his energy toward this universe to achieve a purpose. So from the very beginning, God says, let there be light, and there's light. And in verse 31 of Genesis 1, God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And thus, there was evening, and there was morning on the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. So there's God at work, skillfully weaving a universe, and then God entrusted meaningful work to human beings. Genesis 2:15, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So there is Adam, and he's at work before the fall. And what the fall did in Genesis 3 is it came in and it brought a curse on work. Genesis 3:17, to Adam, God said this, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. Verse 19, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Labor would become futile. It would become frustrating. Efforts will be put forth and nothing will come of it. And in the new covenant, though, through Jesus, work has been redeemed. And we are called co-laborers with God. As Christians, our work actually has eternal benefits as we do the good works. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God doesn't need us at all, but he has committed to us eternal works. Works that have eternal consequences. So as we turn to Proverbs, it's a book in the Old Testament. And like I said earlier, it's written mostly by King Solomon. And it's the book of wisdom. It's principles for us to live by. And as we move through several different Proverbs, we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at the cause of laziness, the cost of laziness, and the cure for laziness. And we'll get started in Proverbs 26. It says this in verse 13. A sluggard says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. Now, what does that mean? The lazy person says there's a lion in the road. It's a riddle. Sometimes these proverbial sayings, they're riddles. It's saying that a lazy person will make any excuse to not go to work. There's a lion in the road. Guess I can't go to work today. The dog ate my homework. That's why I didn't finish my assignment. There's a lion in the road. I stayed up too late playing video games. I have a headache. I can't go. What is your excuse? I'm not passionate about the work I do. I don't believe in the product. My boss is a jerk. They don't give me enough vacation. They don't pay me enough. I think I was made for something different. Do we make excuses to get out of being disciplined? I can't go to work today because I'm not feeling up for it. I can't spend time with God this morning. I woke up too late. I'll do it later. I'll do it this evening. I'll do it before I go to bed, and then it's tomorrow, and you never did it. And then verse 14, it says, as the door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on its bed. Again, it's another riddle. What does a door hinge do? It moves a lot, but it goes nowhere. Lots of movement, but it doesn't do anything. The sluggard turns on his bed, and you can picture the person laying on their bed, rolling over and hitting the snooze button again and again and again. Anybody hit the snooze button this morning? I mean, I did. There we go. There's some hands, right? Like, I definitely hit the snooze button, and I wrote the sermon. So, you know, it was definitely convicting, but it didn't stop me enough from hitting that snooze button. But did you know that if you hit the snooze button just once for 15 minutes a day, that's 92 hours a year. That's almost 4 whole days of sleep by the end of the year. That's you not getting out of bed for 4 whole 24-hour days just by hitting snooze button once for 15 minutes a day. Are we busy but lack something to show for the busyness? Nothing getting better, not getting greater, not producing anything great, like a door hinge not going anywhere. Verse 15, a sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but he's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. They don't finish what they start. Have you ever started something and not finished it? Job to job, ambition to ambition, diet to diet. I'm going to work out this time, gym membership to gym membership, hobby to hobby. I found the thing. No, it's not the thing. It's always something started and never finished. Verse 16, a sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than 7 people who answer discreetly. A sluggard says, I work smart, not hard. Like a pro will show you they're a pro by what they do. A sluggard, a lazy person, says they're always the coach, never a player. Hey, I know everything about everything. Let me tell you how good I am, but don't make me show you. Don't make me get up off this couch. A sluggard chooses the easy road over the hard road. And that brings me to my first point, the cause of laziness. Now, you might be tempted to think that laziness is the lack of desire or the lack of drive, but it's not that. Laziness is an intense drive. It's an intense desire. The reason you hope school will get canceled or that you'll end up with an extra day off from work is not because you don't have a desire. It's because you had a desire to what? To stay in your PJs and binge on Netflix, to go on vacation, to not have to work. You fill in the blank with whatever that desire is, but you have it. You have a desire for it to be comfortable. Laziness is driven by a deep desire for comfort. A comfort zone can be described as a psychological state in which things feel familiar to a person and they are at ease and in control of their environment, experiencing low levels of anxiety and stress. Therefore, it can be assumed that stepping out of one's comfort zone will raise anxiety and generate stress to a certain extent. And why would we want to do that? The human brain is wired to seek comfort and avoid stressful, intimidating, and disagreeable situations. Our brains release stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline to encourage us to flee from anxiety-arousing circumstances. The problem is that every great thing that God has for you is outside of your comfort zone. Proverbs 13:4, a sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. In the ESV, it says the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. Proverbs 21:25, the craving of a sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. What does a sluggard or a lazy person crave? They crave comfort. So you see point number one, the cause of laziness is a craving for comfort. It's ultimately wanting comfort. Do you find yourself avoiding your to-do list? Are you often frustrated with yourself for not doing the things that are important to you? Do you feel comfortable or uncomfortable when important emails show up in your inbox? Are you a master at finding excuses to do meaningless tasks to avoid doing the important tasks? Do you eat when you get stressed? Do you get sleepy when you consider taking actions of the things in your life? Do you say things like, I'll do it later, there's always tomorrow, and never actually do them? Do you hit the snooze on your calendar reminders more often than you'd like to admit? Do you consider yourself lazy and feel really frustrated with it? Are you a procrastinator? Are you a perfectionist and don't act unless something is exactly a certain way? If you identify with any of these things, you are probably using your inaction or your avoidance as a way to comfort yourself. Your system is probably terrified of what will happen if you do take action. What if you succeed? What if you fail? You probably have a long list that you could rattle off about each and how terrible or wonderful they might be. You may imagine that you couldn't handle either of them. You may have history in your life where you've taken a big risk and gotten burned or you were rejected. You may shove your feelings down when they come up. Your problem is not laziness. It's the idolatry or the worship of comfort which produces laziness. It's that I don't want to do anything that I don't want to do. It's believing this lie, and this is so popular among culture today, believing this lie that if it doesn't come completely natural to me, if it's not easy, then I shouldn't have to do it. Or maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. And the enemy, he will convince you of that. And he'll keep you in apathy so that you never produce anything great with your life. And I think the ultimate goal of the enemy is that he would just keep you in a place of doing nothing great for the kingdom. Nothing great with your life, not living your purpose. So what's the risk with laziness? That you would get to the end of this race and there's nothing. You will have done nothing and there will be nothing to say. And I don't mean nothing in the eyes of man. I mean nothing in the eyes of God. Don't be this person because you were made for so much greater than that. God made you for incredible purposes that the enemy wants you to miss out on. If you're here, he has a plan for you. So stop craving comfort, because the cause of laziness is a craving for comfort. So let's look at the cost. There are so many things that laziness will cost you. Proverbs 24, sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time they look but find nothing. Laziness costs you progress. You won't go anywhere. You won't have anything to show for your work. It's like a door hinge. You're lazy busy. Lots of motion, nothing to show for it. You cannot have tremendous output without the input of hard work and discipline. That's just a fact of life. That's what they call the law of the harvest, that we can't benefit from something that hasn't been sown. Proverbs 10:26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. If it's saying, hey, these sluggards, these lazy people, they cause frustration to those they work for. They're bitter like vinegar. You don't want to be around them. You don't want to look at them. They're smoke to the eyes. Laziness costs you people's trust, probably your reputation. But I think the greatest risk is laziness costs you your purpose. And again, what's our purpose? Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He made you the way that you are for a reason. We were created for what? To do good works that God the Creator prepared in advance for you to walk in. That's your purpose. But if you waste your days here pursuing comforts, then you will miss out on your purpose. And you don't walk through the good works which God prepared for you to walk through. You stay where you are and life passes you by. See, laziness is feeding your comfort. It's not doing anything unless you feel like it. But Christ, he calls us to a different message. He calls us to embrace discomfort. He says in Luke 9 and also in Matthew 16, Jesus says to them, he's talking to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Deny themselves what? Their comfort. They must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow him. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life will save it. Laziness will cost you progress. Laziness will cost you people. Laziness will cost you your purpose. And if you don't have progress, if you don't have people, and you don't have purpose, then point number two, the ultimate cost of laziness is a wasted life. It's not carrying your cross. That's what's at risk, a wasted life. You won't grow. You won't get better. You won't be great at anything. You won't win people to the kingdom. You won't walk in the purpose God created you for. You guys remember growing pains, like the physical pain in your legs that would occur when you were growing physically? Your bones are growing, your muscles are stretching, those growth plates are shifting, and it causes pain in your body. Listen to this, you only grow when you're uncomfortable. That's true physically, that's true spiritually, that's true personally. If you want to grow, you have to press into the discomfort. You have to carry your cross. If you never deny yourself, you are missing out on the power of the Holy Spirit to do something in and through you. You might not like your job, but you know what a great opportunity is for growth? A job you don't like. You might not enjoy your job, but do you know that's why they pay you? See, if you enjoyed it, you might be tempted to do it for free. And they would be like, hey, we're going to keep our money, and you just keep showing up and doing the thing that you enjoy, and that's called a hobby. But they pay you to be there, likely because they know that you don't like it. That's the exchange. That's what's going on there. And it doesn't matter if you don't like it. Be awesome at it. Whatever you do, work as though you're working for the Lord. Colossians 3:23. Titus 2:10 says, so that you make the teachings of Jesus our Savior attractive. So you be awesome at it, and you work to get great at it. Whatever it is that feels uncomfortable, whatever it is that you don't enjoy, be great at it as though working for the Lord so that he may be glorified. Do not let laziness rob you of the life God has for you. Do not let your laziness amount to a wasted life. Work as hard because of sin, not because you have the wrong job, not because you're doing the wrong thing. It's because of sin. So what's the cure? As you consider Jesus' example, think about when he was in the garden. Jesus, in his human form, had to do things he didn't want to do. One of the things that he didn't want to do or didn't feel like doing was going to a cross to publicly be humiliated and tortured to death. The reason he did that was because he loved you and I, and he still loves us today. But in the garden, when he's talking to the Father, he says, Father, would you let this cup pass from me? The thing that you're asking me to do, it's so big and it's so hard, and I don't know that I want to do it, but not my will, God, your will be done. And we can learn from Christ's example that as we go to work tomorrow or to school or as we raise our kids, we would say, God, this is really hard, but what is your will in this? What would you like to produce in and through my life through this thing that I'm doing? And by Jesus' example, what we learn simply is that just because something's hard doesn't mean it's wrong. And when something is difficult but necessary, it requires discipline. And that's really the application of this message. Number three, the cure for laziness is discipline despite difficulty. Proverbs 6, verse 6 says this, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at the harvest. Have you ever thought about what would happen if the natural world weren't restrained toward the human race and just went after us? Of all the creatures in the world, which would you dread the most? Personally, it's the birds for me. Like, I don't like them. I'm on high alert when they're around. So like, if eagles came after us and they just started like swooping in, I'm like, Jesus, take me now. Like, that is what would happen. But as I did some research on ants, did you know that there are 2.5 million ants for every one human being on the face of the earth? Now, you might not think that's a big deal, but what would you do if those 2.5 million ants came after just you? How would you handle your 2.5 million? Again, Jesus, take me now. Like, I do not want 2.5 million ants coming at me. Ants can lift over 50 times their body weight, which would be similar to us being able to lift an automobile. They all live in colonies, and the largest colony ever found stretches from the west coast of Spain, across southern France, and into northern Italy, covering nearly 3,700 miles and home to nearly 307 million ants. They're quite incredible and disgusting, hardworking, and very disciplined. In fact, every ant has a specific function. Soldier ants protect the rest of the colony from outside encroachment. Harvester ants store up seeds for food. Some of the ants chew up the seeds and form a kind of like a pasty bread for the other ants to eat. Others take out seeds that have gotten wet and leave them out to dry. Weaver ants use their larvae, which produce silk threads, to sew together leaves for shelters and other purposes. Carpenter ants hollow out tree stumps to use as nests. And in this passage, we're being urged to study the ant and look at its ways and to observe the ants specifically for their work ethic. They have no commander or overseer or ruler, and yet they store their provisions up today, store their provisions in summer and gather their food at the harvest. The ant is dedicated to the task, it's self-motivated, and it has the foresight to store up what's available today so that they can eat tomorrow. They don't mess around. They get the job done, they do what they were created for, every ant with its unique purpose. And the ant doesn't know that it's hard. The ant doesn't care, and it doesn't even think about the difficulty. It says, hey, this has to be done, so I'll do it. It requires discipline. Malcolm Gladwell, best known for his writings on psychology and sociology, wrote a book called Outliers, and he came up with this idea that to master something, to be great at anything, requires 10,000 hours. He's saying, hey, to do anything great requires 10,000 hours of grind, not 10,000 hours of pleasure, not 10,000 hours of enjoyment, but 10,000 hours of discipline. That you're going to continue to press into the grind, that you're going to honor God in the grind. And so the cure for laziness is discipline, regardless of how difficult something might be. So stop making excuses. There's a lion in the road, a lion. Guess I can't go to work today. I stayed up too late playing video games. Guess I can't do my homework. My season of life is just too busy. So my weekends, they're mine. Guess I can't serve one Sunday a month at church. Stop pursuing comfort, stop wasting your life, and get some discipline. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross for you so that you could live your comfortable life doing nothing to glorify him and working solely so that you can one day retire and then complaining the entire way to your retirement? No, because Jesus died on a cross for you so that you would live your life for him. In closing today, 1 Timothy 4:7 says that we are to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. Meaning that we become godly through discipline, not the easy road, not because you feel like it. By way of discipline, godliness will come. Hard work is a Christian virtue. It is a sign of increasing godliness. Laziness is the way of the sluggard. It's comfort. It's a wasted life. And it's not about the quantity of work. I'm not saying to work 70, 80, 90, 100 hours a week. Being a workaholic, addicted to achievement, that's its own sermon. But if your response to this message today has been to quantify your workload for the week, to go on the defensive and think to yourself that you already do enough, to make excuses, oh, but you don't understand what it's like to work my job, you don't understand where I'm at, then you're completely missing the point of the message. The message is about the quality of the work, how you do it, why you do it, who you do it for. The call to hard work is a call to truly purposeful living. It's a call not to waste your life, but to get up and get out and do something with the opportunities that God has placed in front of you. It's a call to advance the kingdom, his kingdom. Don't just sit there. Don't just roll over. Don't just choose the easy road. Get up and in the name of Jesus, do something. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Use your power, your intelligence, your vision, your gifts, and all that God has gave you to do something. So many Christians just waste away the hours all while the game of life is being played all around us and we are sitting on the bench sound asleep. Don't get me wrong, rest and relaxation are good. They're a gift from God, but they're meant to be a reward for hard work and preparation for more hard work. You can create change anytime you decide to. Tiny steps create big change over time. There is a world out there. Get in it for his glory. God gave you two hands. Use them for his glory. God gave you a voice. Speak up for his glory. God gave you two feet. Go on a journey for his glory. God gave you kids to raise. Raise them for his glory. And if you know anybody that's going to do something great in this life, they're either a part of that less than 1% or they disciplined themselves. And when it got hard, they pressed in and they said, Lord, I don't want to do this, but not my will, your will be done. What would you have me do? How would you use my life? Don't let laziness keep you in your comfort zone. Don't let laziness let you waste your life away. Be disciplined enough to do something with the life that God gave you. So if you're here and you want your life to mean something and you want to grow in discipline, you want to honor God with the work that you do, I want to pray for you. So if that's you and that's something you want, I want you to be bold enough. I want you to step out of your comfort zone. I want you to stand right now so that I can see who I'm praying for. Thank you. I'm gonna pray for you guys. God, I just thank you so much for your people who are obedient to what the Holy Spirit is speaking over them. God, they want a life that honors you this side of eternity, God. And so I pray for Holy Spirit empowerment in the lives of your people, God. I pray for Holy Spirit boldness, for Holy Spirit anointing as they go to work tomorrow, as they raise their kids today, as they go to school tomorrow, whatever it is, God, that you've put them in, whatever purpose you are giving them, God, would the Holy Spirit give them the ability to honor you and bring glory to you with the work that you gave them to do. God, I thank you for their boldness. I thank you for their declaration, God. I pray that you would honor their obedience in this moment, God. And as they go from here, they would feel encouraged and challenged to set out on the work that you gave them to do, to advance your kingdom, to bring people along, to tell people about the man that they've met. God, and I just thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the words that you've given us to live by. And as we go from here today, would we be transformed as a result of your word, of your Holy Spirit, of your good works in our lives. And everyone said, amen. The prayer team's gonna come up to the front. If you need prayer today, I would just encourage you to come talk to them. It's really powerful when you come declare out your needs out loud or your praises to God out loud. So don't miss out on the opportunity for these incredible people to pray for you. And don't forget about the connection card. You can turn that in for a free gift at the welcome booth, and we'll see you in the weeks to come.
Here at Relevant Life Church, it's our mission to see people connect with God, relate to one another, and reach our world. This single statement drives everything we do as a church. Our hope is that today you were encouraged in this. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.